Today is March 13th, Gimel Adar, Bet. And it's Parshat Pekudei. We're completing Sefer Shemot today. This week. Hi, Deborah. I'm glad you're here. So I totally was going in one direction and then went in another direction, as happens sometimes. So I have this source sheet is 20 pages, so I have a lot of pages for next year. So what we're going to talk about today are these two psukim towards the end. So there's 40 prakim in Shemot, and this is the end of Perek Lamed Tet, the second to last chapter, the penultimate chapter. So it's interesting to see the English translation versus the Hebrew words and how much you miss if you're not looking at the Hebrew. So this is after the completion of the Mishkan. So it says, "Kekol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, kein asu b'nei Yisrael et kol ha'avodah." So in accordance with all that the Lord had commanded Moshe, so did the children of Israel do all the work. Okay, so they're translating avodah as work. Notice also the verb asu. We're going to see that repeated a few times. And then the next pasuk, Vayar Moshe et kol ha'milacha, vehine asu ota, ka'asher tziva Hashem, ken asu, ve'yivarech otam Moshe. So Moshe saw, and again, this is where you lose it if you don't know the Hebrew. It just says Moshe saw the entire work. But if you look at the Hebrew, we had avoda as work in pasuk membet, and here we have milacha. So it is a totally different word, totally different shoresh, and they both mean work, but we're going to explore today the different kinds of work. And they had done it. So again, the repetition of this verb asu that we already saw up here. They did it, ka'asher tziva Hashem, just as Hashem commanded, kein asu. So too did they do. So you see asu repeated three times. And then at the very end, ve'yivarech otam Moshe, and Moshe blessed them. So my original idea for this year was, what did Moshe bless them? So you'll have to hang on for next year, although we'll get a little taste in some of the sources as we explore the difference between avoda and malacha. So first, we're going to look at Midrash Tanchuma. Vayar Moshe kol ha'malacha asher et... Oh, we can read the English. Moshe saw all the work. It does not say all the work of the tabernacle. Actually, better in Hebrew. So it just said Moshe saw all the work. And it doesn't say malachet ha'mishkan. So why? What is this general work? But rather all the work. For the words of all the work of the tabernacle would be equal to the work of creation itself, as is stated above. And he blessed them forthwith, as is said, and Moshe blessed them. What blessing did he confer upon them? Our sages said, may the Lord God of your forefathers add to you a thousandfold as many as you are, and may he bless you as he spoke concerning you. So that's one theory about what the words of this bracha was. Rabbi Meir held that he said, may it be as well that the Shekhinah will rest upon the labors of your hand, and that they replied, let the graciousness of the Lord our God be upon us. So this pasuk from Tehillim Tzadi starts out Tfilah LeMoshe. It's attributed to Moshe, and it's said that that's what they replied that at this time. Okay, so you can see where I could have gone in either direction. And the Midrash is making a comparison of the malacha here with the malacha, the same word is used in the creation. And it's also used in our next source in the Ten Commandments. Both of these words are used again. So in the Ten Commandments, when it talks about Shabbos in Yitro, it says, Sheshet yamim ta'avod, 6 days you shall work, ve'asita kol melachtecha, and you should do your work. So again, we're translating both of these as work, but they're different words. And notice that ta'avod, you shall work, but kol melachtecha, your personal work. By the way, just for reference, malacha in modern Hebrew means arts and crafts. So it has a more creative aspect to it than just oved, avoda, which means work or servitude, or it can mean service, acts of service. Okay, so we have a few different things in the Ramban. And some of the Rambans were very long, so I tried to tease out just the essence of where he's talking about these words. Sorry. So we'll read the English. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. So this is from the Pasuk in the Ten Commandments. The term labor applies to work, which is not for the needs of the body. So he is differentiating between ta'avod, he's translating as labor, or the translator is, and melacha, he's translating work. So labor applies to work which is not for the needs of the body, such as cooking and the like. Cooking is for the body. Something like it is said, in all manner of labor in the field, when thou tillest the ground, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and Isaiah will yet explain with the help of Hashem. And he has a very, very long explanation in Vayikra that he's referring to here, which we're going to see a snippet of. It is for this reason that he said, 6 days you shall work the ground and do all thy work, which is the malacha part, which is for your physical needs and your benefit. Something like bake that which you will bake. Okay, now this is on our pasuk, the Ramban there. According to all that the Eternal commanded Moshe, so the children of Israel did all of avodah, the work. All the work of the tabernacle, scripture calls it avodah, a term which means also the service of God, in order to indicate that they did it for the service of the glorious name, it being similar to that which is said, ve'avaditem, and you shall serve the Eternal your Lord, and ha'im ta'avdu, you shall serve. It is possible that the phrase, all the avodah, refers here also to the vessels, similar to the expression, all the vessels of the avodah, the service of the tabernacle. Thus, scripture first mentioned the vessels in order to say that even in making the vessels, they were careful to do them exactly as they were commanded. And afterwards, it states, and Moshe saw all the work. And that's the melacha. So Raman seems to be making a differentiation of the work that is solely for the purpose of serving Hashem versus melacha, that's avodah, because that's our service to God, versus melacha, which maybe is for the needs of the body. That seems to be what he's saying. And then in Vayikra, which is where it's super long, I just included a snippet. You can go check it out. It appears to me that the term avoda was understood by a rabbi as a blessed memory in the sense of labor and toil, which one does for another. The usage being similar to these expressions, avodat avid, the work of a bondservant, avid avadim, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren, avdu, they served, kardila omer. Similarly, avodat avodah v'avodat masa, the work of service, the work of bearing burdens, which means the work of any task in the tent of meeting and the work of bearing burdens upon the shoulder. So this is work you do for the other, whether that be God or a slave master. And it's very interesting to think of this word eved with regard to Bnei Israel. When were we slaves of Adim in Egypt? And when were we servants of Adim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And it's the exact same word. So then I found this very nice little summary of Ramban, so you can get a bigger picture in this one sentence summary. You can find the website where I found this here, where he includes more of the Ramban. In a nutshell, Nachmanides understands that avoda refers to any labor that does not directly lead to physical pleasure, while melacha even includes labors that lead directly to physical pleasure, specifically food preparation. So he's not including here the distinction I just made of work for others versus work for yourself, but that also can fit in here. If you're making food for yourself, that's a malacha. Okay. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya, ken asu b'nei Yisrael et kol ha'avodah, hayala lomar et kol ha'malacha. The pasuk should have said the malacha instead of the word avodah. Aval ha'katub kara l'malachet ha'mishkan avodah, but the pasuk calls the Milacha of the Mishkan, that type of work of the Mishkan, avoda, work, she'asu oto la'avodat Hashem, because they made it for the service of God. This is in line with what the Ramban said, which Rabbeinu Bechaya usually does follow the Ramban. Kinyan shekatuv, and then he quotes even some of the same psukim, ve'avadatam et Hashem alokechem, you should serve the Lord your God, and also ve'oto ta'avodu, and you shall serve. Ve'yar Moshe et kol malacha. And then Moshe sees it as melacha. So that's something that we're going to discuss in other sources. Also, just to highlight, from the perspective of Bnei Israel, it was avoda, but what Moshe saw was melacha. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Zo melacha ta mishkan. This is the actual work of the mishkan, as opposed to the vessels that were made for the service of God. Upeiresh vayar, what does it mean? And he saw, bahar, what Moshe saw on the mountain when he was on Har Sinai and Hashem was giving him all the instructions. Kinyan shekatuv kekol asher nimar eota otcha. As it says in Vayakel, Parshat Truma, in everything that I will show you. And it's also written, asher atamar ebahar, that which you saw in the mountain. Vihine asu otam, behold, they did it in the wilderness. Uba midrash, and now going back, this is the midrash that we started out with. Bayar Moshe et kol melecha, Moshe saw all the melecha, zo melechet bereshit. What did Moshe see? He saw all of the work of creation. Et kol melechet ha-mishkan lo namar. It doesn't say the work of the Mishkan, it just says melecha in general. Lehodiacha sheshkula melechet ha-mishkan keneged maaseh bereshit, to inform you that the work of the Mishkan is the same weight and corresponds to the work of Bereshit. So I think I did this class a couple of years ago where we went through and saw all of the parallels in language between the Mishkan and Bereshit. And of course, the word Malacha is one of the things that really stands out. And Vayichal, he completed all sorts of things. So you can look for that on YU Torah. Okay, so the Alshich lived in Sfat, the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo, 16th century. V'zeh Yomar Po, and he is writing also on the Ten Commandments. This is his commentary on the Ten Commandments. V'hu v'sum lev, so you have to pay attention. Ma bein avoda l'malacha. So he asks our question, what is the difference between avoda and malacha? Kihene avoda hi ha'oved et adonav. So avoda is something a servant does for his master. U'malacha hi mitzi'ut malacha. So malacha is the reality of the work that a man does. Begam nasim lev beomro ta'avod stam. And we also have to pay attention to the fact that it says work. Velo amar ta'avod avodatecha. And it doesn't say work your work. As it says, milachtecha, your milacha. So I'm just going to remind you that pasuk from the Ten Commandments. Sheshet yamim ta'avod ve'asita kol milachtecha. So the malacha has the your at the end, but the avoda is just stam. It doesn't have a possessive in it at all. Ki ha'avoda eina miyachsa le'atzmo. And that's because for avoda, you can't say your work because it's what we do for others. Achu ki hine lo yitbarach kol Yisrael avadim b'chayavim la'avodat Hashem. And we know this with our relationship with God, that it's all for God, that Israel belongs to God and we're his servants and we are obligated to serve God. V'alkein kol Torah, tefillah, u'mitzvot, nikrat avoda. And that's why we call any time all of Torah and all of davening and all the mitzvah, it's our avoda. This is our service to God. That's why it's used that word. And like we see in the psukim, v'avad temet Hashem, you served God. Ma na'avodat Hashem, another pasuk of service to God. Ani u'beiti na'avodat Hashem, another one from Yoshua. Lo ki et Hashem na'avod, no, I just serve God. So that's the Alshik's distinction. That which you do for somebody else versus that what you do for yourself. Okay, Kli Yakar, 1500s Prague, Rabbi Ephraim Lifshitz. Vayar Moshe et kol ha'melecha. So he's going to ask the same question. Yesh l'dakdek ma ne'amar mitzchila v'techal kol avodat mishkan o hamoed. So we need to pay attention to that which is said in the beginning, and he completed all of the avoda of the mishkan and the tent of meeting. V'chein ne'amar v'sof, and in the end it says, kein asu b'nei Yisrael et kol ha'avoda. So too b'nei Yisrael did all of the avoda. Lama kara mitzchila avoda v'achar kach melacha. So why is it first called avoda and afterwards it's called malacha? Ve'od nira ha'kefel b'shnei psukim elo. And we also see some seemingly redundancy in these two psukim. Ve'aramban peresha amarza al hamishkan ve'al hakelim. So his take, his quick summary of the Ramban, which is very long, is that he's the mishkan, the work of the mishkan is the malacha, and the work of the kelim is the avoda. Ve'ulai da'at harav sh'amishkan nikra malacha. And perhaps it's the opinion of the Ramban that the Mishkan is called Malacha, aval hakelim nikru avoda, But the kelim are called avoda al shem shebahem hayu ovdim avodata karbonat. So the kelim, which are the vessels, they were the things used in the service of the work of the korbanot, the sacrifices. So maybe because the kelim were actually put to use in the service of God, they're called avoda. U'mikol makom lo yatzanu midei hakefel, ki shalosh pamim nizkar kan she'asuha avoda ve'amelacha. But in any case, even if we make that distinction between avoda and melacha, we still haven't dealt with the issue of the redundancy of the word asu, that they did, the avoda and the melacha. So now he's going to explain it. Al ken nira lefaresh ze al pi hamidrash hadoresh kol ma'aseh mishkan keneged ma'aseh breshit. So he's going to explain it according to the midrash that we saw, the Tanhuma, that explains every aspect of the Mishkan corresponds to an aspect of the creation story. Ayin kol hamidrash berabeinu b'chaye. So in a different berabeinu b'chaye, not the one that we did, he brings down all of the parallels between the Mishkan and Bereshit, and he also invents many that are outside of the midrash. Ubezei yitashev gam ken lashon avoda u'malacha. And here we can understand the difference between avoda and malacha. Ki al malachat ha-mishkan, sheyach lomar lashon avoda. Because of the work of the Mishkan, the malacha of the Mishkan, it's fitting to say the language of avoda, also that work, ki ba avdu el Hashem yitbarach. Because in it, in the Mishkan, we served God. Ve'en avoda ki im min ha'eved el ha'adon. And he's agreeing with the previous one, the Al-Sheikh, that avoda is what a servant does to his master. Aval lashon melacha nofel b'melachet shamayim ba'aretz. But melacha, that's the word that used to describe the creation of the heavens and the earth. Ki ma sheha poel osel la'atzmo. That which the worker, poel is another word for worker, does for himself, nikra melacha. That's called melacha. Kamo she'ne'amar b'maaseh bereshit, just like we read in the Acts of Creation, v'yichal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi'i melachto. On the seventh day, God finished his work. U'kamo she'matzinu b'maaseh bereshit, she'ne'amar b'kol melacha kitov. And like we see in the creation story, that it said after each and every act of melacha, this type of work, kitov, that it was good. U'basof amar v'yir Elokim et kol asher asah v'hinei tov. And at the end, it says, God saw everything he made, and behold, it was good. I think it's actually very good. Tov mod, he's going to say that later. Ki yesh lecha devarim shehem tovim, kishem kol echad bifnei atzmo. Because you have things that are very good when each one is looked at individually. Aval kishem me'oravim yachad, einam tovim. But when they're mixed together, when they're all put together, these individual things that on their own are good, they're not good. Because pairing the matching of these different elements together does not go well. And therefore it says in the act of creation, Shkulam hayu tovim, kishayu kol echad mehem be'atzmo, dehainu tov prati. So it says in the act of creation about each one that they're good in and of itself, and that's the individual, the specific. Ve'achar kach amar shegam tov klali. And afterwards, it gives a general pronouncement of good. Hayah beham, that was in them. Ki gam achar shenit chabru kulam yachad, hayah chiburam tov. Because after they were all united together, their joining together was good. Lechach chazar ve'amar ve'yar lekim et kol asher asa v'hinei tov me'od. And that's why it goes back and says that God saw everything that he had done, and behold, it was very good. Each individual part of creation was good, but the whole, all of them together, was very good. Kach be'avodat ha-mishkan. So too is the same in the Mishkan. Mitchila amar v'techal kol avodat mishkan ohel ha'edut. In the beginning it says, and they completed all of the work of the Mishkan in the tent of meeting. Ve'asu b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe ken asu. And b'nei Yisrael did everything that God had commanded, and had commanded Moshe, thus they did. Shemashma shekol echad bifnei atzmo nasa kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. It seems from this that each individual did everything that God commanded Moshe. Aval adayin lo paresh sheachar shenasa hakol az sidru et kol avodah v'avodah. But it still didn't explain that after each individual element was done, that they would put it all together. Vavodat al mikomo, in each work in its place, hamiyuchadlo, that was unique to it, dehainu tov klali, that this would be the general goodness. Al kein chazar, and that's why we have to repeat it, that's why it seems repetitious, but it's not, it's telling us something new. Ve'amar kekol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, kein asu b'nei Yisrael et kol ha'avodah. Just as God commanded Moshe, so did b'nei Yisrael all of the avodah, all of the work. Kiyabeham tov klali, that there was also, just like in the act of creation, this general goodness, shenasu al haseder hanachon, that everything was done in the right order, dehainu chibur kol ha'avodah biyachad, this joining of all of the work together. Ve'achar kach chazar leva'er shekol ma she'asu na'aseh al tzivui malachet ha'olamot shamayim ba'aretz. And afterwards, it goes back to explain that everything that they did was done on the command of the work of the worlds of the heaven and the earth. Ze she'amar vayar Moshe et kol ha'melacha, that which it says Moshe saw all of the melacha work, hainu melechet ma'aseh bereshit. That's really referring to the work of creation. Hine asu ota, that they, behold that they did it. Ratza lomar she'asu dugmat ota melacha, ki'ilo hayta hi mamash ota ha'melacha, lefichach ve'yevarach otam. That is to say that they did an example of the same work of the work of creation. So each individual piece was an avoda, but all together, this was a malacha that was mimicking somehow the act of God's malacha in creating the heavens and the earth. So us, B'nai Yisrael, creating the Mishkan and how it all came together and was very good and fit together very nicely, this was us mimicking God in creating the world where each individual aspect of creation was good, but all together it was also very good. And that's when Moshe blessed them in seeing how it all came together in the malacha, like the malacha of creation. Okay, Torat Moshe. This is very long, I apologize, but I think it's very good. Kechol Asher, Torat Moshe is the Chatam Sofer. Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe, Kein Asu B'nei Yisrael et Kol Avodah, Vayar Moshe et Kol Melacha V'chulei V'irach Ota Moshe. So our pasuk, the two psukim that we've been dealing with. Uberashi, Amarle, so I didn't include Rashi here in the beginning because Rashi is really more focused on what the bracha was, but we need to hear it now because the Torah Moshe is going to comment on that bracha and how it relates to the difference between malacha and avoda. So Rashi says, what was the bracha? Amarle, he said to them, Yihi ratzon shetishre shechina. It should be God's will that his shechina rests with you in this mishkan. And then, and this is from the midrash that we saw also, Yihi noam Hashem aleinu, and the pleasantness of God should be upon you. Hachiluk, and then he's going to say, Hachiluk ben avoda lemalacha katav haramban. So everyone's quoting the Ramban on the difference between avoda and malacha from Vayikra. Dimasha eved osel rabo mikre avoda. That which a servant does for his master is called avoda. Uma shederach adam she'osel atzmo mikre malacha. And that which a person does for himself, that's called malacha. So we have a distinction between the acts of a tzaddik, complete tzaddik, and one who's not such a complete tzaddik. Shetzaddikim mosifim koach bepamaya shamala. Tzaddikim have the ability to add strength or add vitality to God's entourage above. Umalatan yoter mimalachei hasharit. And their level even more than the ministering angels. So a complete tzaddik can impact the heavens even more than the ministering angels. Ve'imken nikra ma'aseyam avoda. And that's why a complete tzaddik's actions are called avoda. Now remember, the avoda in this definition is what you do for others. Ma'she'enken b'tzaddik she'eno gomer. This is not the case for an incomplete tzaddik. She'eno mosif koach mikrei rak melacha, because he doesn't add strength to God and his entourage. He just does melacha. V'chein b'malachim kativ, and melacha, notice, has the same shoresh root as malach, an angel. They're from the same word. Avoda is an avid, a servant, and melacha is a malach. So the pasuk says, bless the Lord, his angels, those mighty in strength, who perform his work. Ose Dibro. They perform his word. Sorry, to hearken to the voice of his word. Aidei ma'asehem nitosef lahem koach. By way of their actions, they do add strength. V'hainu de kamar de be'emet asu avoda. And that is to say, when they really did avoda, behosifu koach befamaya shamaya, and they added strength to the entourage above. I'm sure there's a more spiritual word than entourage, but when I looked it up, that's what it said. I like the idea of God with his entourage. V'lo hayat tzuchim lebracha. And then, so the complete tzaddik doesn't need a bracha. Shetishra shechina b'maase yadehem, that the shechina would rest on the acts of their hands. Ki kevan she'asu rak l'shem shamayim b'li shum pnia p'shita she'ishra shechina b'maase yadav. Since he did everything only for the sake of heaven, without any kind of agenda, it's simple that the Shekhinah would rest on the acts of his hands, the works of his hands. Aval, but, Vayar Moshe ad kol ha-melacha, but Moshe sees the melacha. Shemoshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom chai, she'asu rak begeder melacha, ki haya lam pnia. Moshe had a suspicion. He suspected that they, when the people did the work of the Mishkan, they were doing malacha, meaning they were doing it somewhat for themselves, not completely for the sake of heaven, that they had an agenda. Lechach, and therefore Moshe felt the need to bless them, that the Shekhinah would rest on them, because it wasn't so clear if they had a personal agenda that the Shekhinah would rest on them. It would only be clear the Shekhinah would come down if they did it solely for the sake of heaven. Okay, these are the psukim again. So he's offering a different comment. So in our psukim, the same question everybody's been asking: why does it first say avoda and afterwards it says malacha? And also this seemingly redundancy: just as he commanded them, so too they did. It already said that. They were commanded and they did it. It seems to me, in the matter of the work of the Mishkan, there are two matters of doing it. So what's the first way to go about doing the work of the Mishkan? La'asot ratzon Hashem yitbrach, shekol ikar briyat ha'olam, so this approach is that to do the will of God, that the entire principle of the whole creation of the world was so that God would have a dwelling place on it, on the below world. Ka'ayin de'katav v'midrash, like we read in the Midrash. Shalei de'chet ha'adam v'dorot ha'ba'im acharav, that then this is the Midrash, that by way of the sin of the first man and the generations that came after him, nistalka hashchina lamala. The Shechina removed itself to be only above in the heavens. Ve'acharkach ayde Avram Yitzchak ve'Yaakov, and afterwards, once Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov came into the world, yarda lamata ad dorosho Moshe shachan v'tachtonim. God's presence, the Shechina, continued to descend until finally with Moshe, it actually dwelled with us in the lower world. And the whole purpose of coming out of Egypt was so that he would dwell within them, as it's written in the end of Parshat Tetzaveh. I brought you out of the land of Egypt to dwell among you. And that's why we need to make the Mishkan. Lenachat ruach lefanav, to give God nachas. That we did his will, liot lo makom dira, that there would be a dwelling place for him. So that's the first way of going about building the Mishkan, for the sole purpose of creating a dwelling place for God. And now here's the second one, the inyan ha'asiya ha'shinit, hu lichvod Yisrael l'tovatam. This would be for the honor of Israel and for their own sake, their own good. Kamo medina ve'ir, like a state in a city, Shehamelech sharui betocha, that the king dwells within it. He kavod gadol lebnei ha'ir. This is a great honor for the people in the city. V'kal v'chomer, and all the more so, im melech malchei hamlachim ha'kadosh baruch hu sharui bein Yisrael. If God, the king of all kings, blessed be he, rests among Israel. Kol HaShefa, V'Bracha, Lami, Rak LeYisrael. All of the flow and bracha, to whom does it go? Only to Israel. V'Inyan Hahu, Gam Kein Tov V'Kadosh. This is also a very good and holy approach, if you're doing it for the good of Israel and for the honor of Israel. She'af Zo, Nachat Ruach Lefanav. That even this is nachas for God, lehativ leYisrael, to do good for Israel. That makes God happy when we have goodness. Aval eno kadosh kol kach, but it's not so holy. Kamo inyan harishon, like the first matter, shehu rak lenachat ruach lechmanav, which is only for the sake of God's nachas. Velo bishvil tovatenu, and not for our own benefit. Vihine al ofen harishon lo shayach levarach yihi ratzon shetishra shchina b'masei adecha. And behold, with the first approach, completely l'shem shamayim, it's not relevant to bless that the Shechina should rest on the acts of your hands. Deha kol ha'asiyah lo haya ela l'ratzono, because the entire act was done to his will, shiyehe lo dira b'tachtonim, that he would have a dwelling place below. Aval ofen hasheni, but the second approach, shekivnu be'asiyato letovat nafsham, where their intention in their action was for the good of their own souls, shayach lebracha. Then you have to make this bracha. We needed that bracha for Moshe, that the Shechina would dwell among us. Ritzon lomar ve'yavo aleichem kol habrachot gamken. And that is to say that all the blessings would come upon us also. Okay, so you see the difference? Avoda is for the sake of God purely, l'shem shamayim. Melacha has a selfish element to it. V'hini ha-Rambam, Parshat Amor, so this is a very, very long Rambam that I only gave you a little snippet of. Peresh de-kol makom she-namar melechet avoda, ina ela avodat ha-karka, v'shar melecha she-in hana'a le-nefesh. So he says, he defines that melechet avoda, so this melecha, is for the benefit of the soul. People get benefit from it. L'chein lo hutzrach b'shum yom tov lehatir ochal nefesh. And therefore, we don't have an explicit pasuk permitting cooking on any other Yom Tov except for Chag HaMatzot, Pesach. Yan Shamar Tchila Kol Melacha Lo Yasa. Because before, when we first learn about the laws of Pesach, it says you can't do any melacha. U'melacha mora amelachet hana'a she'adam ne'aneh bo. And the melacha points to work of enjoyment that man gets enjoyment from it. Ke'en melechet ochel nefesh, like the work of cooking food, where man gets enjoyment. L'chein hutzrach lamar v'feverush af asher yochal. And that's why we needed the explicit permission in the pasuk to allow us to cook on Pesach. V'ra'iti midachtiv, v'ra'yato, and it's proof that that's what avoda and melacha are, come from a few different psukim. V'kain haya oved adama, Kain worked the ground. V'kativ oved admato yisba lechem. In Mishlei it says, he who tills his soil be sated with bread. V'lefize inyan asiyat mishkan im haya rak l'nachat ruach lefanav yitbarach nikra avoda. And therefore, with the matter of the mishkan, if their only intent was to give Hashem nachas, then it's called avoda. She'en shum adam ne'amimenu, that no man gets any enjoyment from it. Rak ke'en avoda, only in the sense of avoda. She'avad, she'eved osel le'nachat ruach le'rabo. Like a servant would do his work, not for his own personal gain, but just to give his master nachas. Aval im nase k'dei le'havi shefa o'bracha Yisrael. But if we were doing it to create shefa and blessings onto Israel, Nikra melacha, then it's called melacha. Sheyesh hana'a mimenu leguf, because there's enjoyment to the body from that. V'ayidei zeh yuvaro psukim hanichtav le'al. And that's how we'll understand these psukim. Dehakatuv mesaper shivcham shel Yisrael. The pasuk tells the praiseworthiness of Israel. Shelo kivnu ela lenachat ruach. Israel only intended the first approach, the nachas before God, la'asot ritzono, to do his will. So as we pointed out before, in the first pasuk that we're exploring today, it says from Bnei Yisrael's perspective, they were doing avoda, fully for the sake of l'shem shamayim. Their work was from the aspect of avoda. she'eved oseh l'rabot, that a servant does for his master, l'nachat ruach lefanav, for purely for the sake of nachas for the master. And therefore, they wouldn't need this bracha for Moshe, because their thoughts were purely for the sake of heaven. So, of course, it's understood that God's Shechina would rest there. But Moshe, in his righteousness, it says, but it seems like he is suspicious. And Moshe couldn't know the thoughts of Bnei Israel. Maybe their intent was for their own benefit, to increase for themselves this flow and blessing. And that's why it says that Moshe saw. Lashon havana, he understood. He thought, in his opinion, that what Bnei Israel did was malacha, with personal benefit. Vihine asu v'gomer, and there that they did. Ratzon lomar, ulai lo haya rak b'vchinat malacha l'hanat atzma. That is to say, maybe it wasn't, maybe they did it for their personal benefit. Alkein v'yivarech otam Moshe, and therefore Moshe gave this blessing that the Shechina would rest among them, ki ba'ofen zet tzrichim l'bracha, because if they had intent for their own personal benefit, then they need this bracha. Ve'abrachot mimele yavo al Yisrael. Amen. And then he adds his own commentary that we should all have the bracha, which we should. Ukinyanza. Now this is where it gets really interesting. Yivuar ha-ma'amar b'masachet Shabbat. So this is very famous Gemara in Masachet Shabbos. And we'll just read the English. Rabbi Eliezer said, when the Jewish people accorded precedence to the declaration, we will do over we will hear. So that's the order. Na'aseh, we will do, v'nishma. A divine voice emerged and said to them, who revealed to my children the secret that the ministering angels use? Malachei Asharet. As it is written, bless the Lord, you angels of his, you mighty in strength that fulfill his word, hearkening unto his voice of his word. At first, the angels fulfill his word. That's the na'aseh. And then afterward, they hearken. That's a nishma. Okay? V'nerali, de'afshar lamor, de'lechach nikra'u ha'alyonim malachim, lashon melacha. This is going in a totally counterintuitive way. He's saying it's because they did it in this order. First they did, and then they learned. That they're called angels from the language of malacha. Because these angels cannot add strength to the entourage of the above. Because what is the main purpose? What's the enjoyment of the heavenly bodies? That they should enjoy the glow of the Shechina. And them seeking out and wanting to enjoy the ziv, the light of the Shechina, is similar to us in wanting enjoyment for our bodies. V'chol ikar asiyat mitzvatam einenu elu sh'alidei ken yochlu lahasig yoter. And whenever the angels do God's will, it's only so that they can grasp even more. V'alidei ze yehanu yoter. And through this they will enjoy more from the light of the Shechina. And therefore we have the pasuk that we had before, fulfilling his word and hearkening unto the voice of his word. Shezehu ikar kavanatam. This is their main intent. V'hu hanatam, and that's for their benefit. V'lo l'nachat ruach lefanav, and not purely for God's nachas. L'chein lo yuchlu la'asif koch, and that's why they do not add strength to God above. And therefore, they are called malachim at the level of malacha, that they have some bodily enjoyment. But the main component of the level of the holiness of Israel is the opposite. Because our main intent is only to do the will of God. And how would we know God's will unless we learn it? Dehainu kol ma sheyasigo yoter kedusha yosef avoda ke'eved hatov shemishto kekla da ritzon rabo. So all the more that we grasp in our learning, we add more holiness in our work, like a servant, a good servant, who desires only to know the will of his master. Kedei la'asot lo achar kach ritzono, in order to do according to his will. V'ra'uya hu b'Yisrael lakdim shmia la'asiya. And therefore, for us, what's proper is that we should first learn and then do. This is so interesting because we've all learned all of our lives how beautiful it was that we said na'aseh v'nishma, that first we'll do and then we'll learn. And here the Torah Moshe is saying that's only the level of the angels. We actually can do so much more. And by learning first and then doing, we're able to fulfill God's will even more. And when we learn and then we do, we add to the power of the entourage of above. And at the time, before the Ten Commandments, when we, B'nai Israel, put na'aseh, doing, before nishma, learning, that's when the bat kol came out and said, who revealed this secret that belongs to the malachim, the angels, and not to Israel? Because we actually can achieve higher than that. We can learn first and then do, which allows us to be even closer to the will of God and increase the power of the entourage above. Okay. So that is crazy. I don't even know what to do with it, but it was really interesting and I was excited to share with you. I think we'll skip this paragraph about the blessing. Okay, now we have the Ketav v'Hakavalah. Let me see if this is... Yeah, this is the last one. Okay, so he quotes Naftali Hertz Wiesel. And Ketav HaKabbalah was born right after this rabbi died. He lived in the 1800s. He was good friends with the Malvim, Rav Tzvi Mecklenburg. Da ki yesh havdel bein milat avoda ubein milat melecha. So again, the same topic, all these different perspectives that we're learning about it. Avoda kolel kol hamasim she'adam oseh. Avodah includes all of the actions that man does. Ve'afilu ein b'maasehu inyan hamitzarech liyadiyah v'chochma. And even if those actions, this is the definition of avodah, doesn't add anything to his knowledge or his wisdom. Gam eino mishanet davar b'maasehu, he doesn't change anything with his actions. Ve'lo metaken davar, and he doesn't fix anything. This is going to be the opposite of what we saw before. Kamo laseit masaot avanim, like carrying a heavy pile of stones. Larutz mimakom lakom, to run back and forth. Laholich kelim achar rabo lebeit hamirchatz, to bring vessels or containers after his rabbi to the bathing house. Lahabisho, to get him dressed. Ukiyotze mimasim halelu, and things similar to this. Shehem maasei evet, these are the works of a servant. Vizehu inyan hamila sheshorsha evet. And that's the whole matter of the word whose root is servant, slave. Ve'hashem avoda. And it's called avoda. Ve'kol ela hadvarim lo yupol lehem shem alacha. And none of these things that he mentioned in this list of the things that fit into avoda would ever fit into the realm of malacha. Ve'lo yimtza samucha lehem b'kol kitvei kodesh. And you will never find in any holy work any mention of these things being malacha. So what does malacha mean? Somebody who creates something new. Mechadesh davar. He changes something. Be'inyanim hativim, in their natural state. U'mishaneh otam b'ma'asehu mima shehayu. And he changes it with its actions from what it was. Ve'al yidei hachidush hazeh. And by way of this new thing, yatikun hadavar, there will be a fixing of the thing. Hen shivna, hen shiaros. Whether that's building something or destroying something, tamid yeshana, it always changes it. Ukeshayesh b'maaseu tikun, and when there is something in his actions that is fixing, liyishuv ha'olam, for the settlement of the world, hareza melacha, that is called melacha. V'lachen mochek amanat lichtov, and so too erasing something, in order to be able to write on that same surface. Horis amanat livnot, destroying something in order to build something. Kulam malachoten. This is what malacha is. And this should sound familiar from what we know about the laws of Shabbos. V'chol melacha yesh limud v'yedi'ah v'ezazman uve'ele kliyasa. In all of malacha, there needs to be some learning and knowledge at which time and with which type of vessel it'll be done. V'lachin milat melacha kolelet kol hadvarim. And so the word malacha includes all of the things hanituim b'ma'aseh reshit that are planted in the actions of the creation story. Liyishuv ha'olam, to create the world, ha'olam hazeh, this world, ulatikuno, and to fix it, asher bara Elokim lasot, that God made doing, kmo klal avodat ha'adama hen malachot. Like the general principle of the working of the ground, these are malachot. So we call it's a vodat, but it's really malacha, hachrisha v'azria v'kyotze, plowing and planting. Ki Hashem yitbarach hechin l'kol davar me'ela zman yadua, hag yadua, because God prepared for each of these things a specific time and specific behaviors. V'tzarich adam lasot kefi hachanot eila, and man needs to do according to these preparations. V'az titzlach ma'asehu, and then his actions will be successful. U'misha mekalkal v'malachto, and somebody who ruins his malacha, lo asaklum, hasn't accomplished anything. Ki ein mimenu tikkun ha'olam, because there was no fixing of the world. L'chein amru rabbeinu zichronam livracha, therefore a rabbi said, lo asra Torah ela malachet machshavet. The Torah only forbids thoughtful work. And here's the halacha in the Rambam. When on the Sabbath a person had the intent to cut an object and was already severed from the ground, but instead cut an object that was connected to the ground, so he had the intent to take something that was already separated from the ground, but instead he actually cut something, he actually harvested, which is a major malacha, but that wasn't his intent. Even though he had the intent to cut, since his desired intent was not fulfilled, he is exempt from a sin offering. He doesn't need to bring a korban because he didn't do anything wrong because he didn't have the right intent. He is considered as one who is merely busying himself, and the Torah forbade only purposeful labor. That's malachet machshavet, as we explained several times. That's from the Rambam in Hilchot Shkagot. We call him a kalkalim p'turin, and anybody who screws up whatever their intent was is patur, they're exempt. And we get a general principle out of this. All of the actions of God that he did during the 6 days of creation, nikraim malachot, lo avodot. They're called malacha, not avoda. Alkein kativ mikol malachto. And that's why it says, he ceased from all of his work. Ki vo shavat mikol malachto. Because on it, on the seventh day, he ceased from all his work. V'lechein, Ela hamalachot kulam asurim lanu lasot biyom hashabbat. And that's why these things specifically are prohibited to us on Shabbos. Ki he's here, lo ta'aseh kol malacha. We were warned, do not do any malacha. V'lo asar aleinu ha'avodot. But we weren't prohibited from doing avoda. Ki lo matzinu lo ta'avod biyom hashabbat. It doesn't say don't do avoda on Shabbos. O lo ta'aseh bo avoda. Or don't do avoda. All of those psukim have the word malacha in it. Because we weren't warned on them. And we learn from this that it's permitted on Shabbos to move around tables and chairs, ochlim umashkim, food and drink, and to carry them on his shoulder, and to carry it outside of the city, from one end of the city to the other end of the city, as long as there's an Eruv. When they're for the needs of having a pleasant Shabbos. You can carry it all over the place. V'chein mutar larutz kol hayom, mibayit labayit kiyotze, and you can run from house to house, and similar things to that. Afal pi shehen amal v'torach, even though they're a burden and they're difficult, l'fi she'enan ela avodot, but they're only avodot. V'hashem yitbarach lo asar asiyat avodot zulat malacha. Hashem only forbade malacha. V'lechein hachoresh kol shehu, and therefore somebody who plows even the tiniest bit, v'hazorea kol shehu, and somebody who plants even the tiniest bit, v'hakotev shtei otiyot v'shabbat, and the one who writes two letters on Shabbat, Even though there wasn't any burden or hard work in this, he already broke Shabbos because he did a malacha. So malacha is something that actually fixes or changes the world for man, whereas avoda is just hard work. And it doesn't have any meaning, or it doesn't change anything in the world. And that's the difference between avoda and malacha here. Okay, so as I mentioned before, I don't have a great conclusion. I've just presented you all of these very interesting and different and very confusing definitions of avoda and malacha. Everything from malacha being the act of God in creation and fixing the world, which seems to contradict the Torah Moshe that says that malacha doesn't have a lot of thought and might have some selfish connotations to it, whereas avoda is purely for the sake of Hashem. So as we go into Shabbat and we read about the completion of the Mishkan, we should really think about our avoda and our malacha with whatever definition spoke to you, and hopefully it will enhance our avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our malacha that we do during the week, but not on Shabbos. And may we speedily see the day where we will be able to do true avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. Thank you.
Thank you so much.